Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for your grace and goodness and mercy in our lives, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to seek you this morning, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and minds. God, that you would help us to hear your still small voice. And I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. I don't remember where I read the story. It might have been a Guidepost magazine or some such place. But in the story, a father and his young son are out for a walk one afternoon in their neighborhood. The father wants the son to experience prayer and to know the love and grace of God in his life, and to let him know that he can go to God at any time. The father asked his son if there was something that he might want to ask God for. And the son replies, "Dad, I would like a skateboard." So they stopped there on the sidewalk, and the father and the son prayed together, asking God if he would provide the son a skateboard. The father knew he only had a dollar in his pocket and would not be able to afford any skateboard. As a father myself, it seems this father wanted his son to ask God for something that he could then go out and buy for him, so that he could show that God cares for him, so he could show that God is listening to him, almost as if he feels that God needs him as a father to do the work for him. As they continued their walk, they came to a home that was having a garage sale, and so they went up to see what might be there. And wouldn't you know, there was a skateboard there for sale. Wouldn't you know, that skateboard costs $1. But is this all about what prayer is? Us asking God as if he's a genie for all of our wants and needs, and then holding our hands out and waiting until God provides? Isn't there other reasons to spend time with God in prayer? And why, if prayer is so important based on what the Bible says and what the church has taught for the last 2,000 years, if it is so important, why does prayer seem to elude us? In the story of the father and the son, it seems like it was a very simple conversation that they had with God, God answering them in a real and tangible way. I don't know about you, but in my formative years as a pastor's kid, you would have thought that I would have learned a lot about prayer, or would have naturally grown in prayer. Sure, we prayed before our meals. I especially remember a specific prayer we prayed for meals. "Be present at our table, Lord. Be here and everywhere adored. These mercies bless and grant that we may strengthen for thy service be." Amen. I remember praying that all the time. In fact, when we as a family get together as adults and our kids, guess what prayer we pray? In talking with my mom, she said this week, she said, "Your dad and I, we prayed that once we started getting together." And so that was something that was regular in their life, and they passed that down to us. And my brothers and sisters and I have passed that down to our kids. So the supper prayer, meal prayer, is important. And as my mom would tuck us into bed at night, she taught us this prayer. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Please stay with me throughout the night and wake me in the morning light." Well, that second half of that doesn't sound right for some, because you might have learned, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Again, in talking with my mom, she said, "I didn't want you thinking about death while you were going to sleep." So she repurposed the prayer. I cannot say beyond these two prayers I ever really remember being taught how to pray. I'm sure we talked about it in Sunday school. I'm sure I heard my dad preaching on it or other preachers preaching on it. And certainly like you, I joined with others every Sunday morning saying the Lord's Prayer at the appropriate time. But that was the extent. I don't remember learning about prayer or knowing that there was more to it than simply making requests to God. Or maybe praying for someone else who had a need. So what more is there to prayer? And what is prayer for? And why should we as Christians spend time in prayer? And maybe why does it seem to be so difficult for us to slow down and to find time to pray if it is so important? Simply defined, prayer is this, and this is just my simple definition. You could write it down on the back of your bulletin. Prayer is a conversation with God. Prayer is a conversation with God where we spend time with each other. Where we spend time with each other, getting to know each other. So sometimes Bible reading could be seen as a part of prayer, God speaking to us. And prayer is also a time when I share my wants and needs with Christ or with God. And it's also a time when the Holy Spirit helps me to learn to live a life that brings glory to God. There's that exchange. I believe today's scripture reveals to us the heart of our relationship with God, even as it pertains to prayer. As Jesus shares with his disciples during their last few moments together, before he's arrested, before he is tortured and hung on a cross and dies for our sins, he equates how the disciples, his disciples then, and really us today, we're disciples, using something that they would often see to illustrate in their travels about prayer, the grapevine. Listen again carefully for what each part of the grapevine represents. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful." Who's represented by the vine, or the branch? I'm sorry, the vine. Who represents the vine? Jesus. Who represents the branches? Us, believers. Believers. And who's the gardener? God the Father. And God either cuts off or prunes our branches. He cuts off branches that don't bear fruit in our lives. He prunes branches that bear fruit so that they can produce more fruit in our lives. So my question would be, or at least I would think, so how do I remain a fruit-bearing branch? How do I remain a fruit-bearing branch? Well, Jesus gives us the answer as he goes on. Read it with me. "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Now, the fruit on the branch, it can represent many facets of being a faithful Christian. It can represent our faithfulness in helping people to know the truth of who Jesus Christ is, to help them to discover Jesus as Savior of the world. The branch or the fruit could also be simply helping others who have needs, coming alongside of them and during a difficult time in their life. It could be bearing fruit, could be allowing God's Word to enter your life on a regular basis. Bearing fruit could be living a generous life with your time, using your talents, your gifts, the things that you can do, your wealth to help others. Yet how do we remain connected to God? How do we remain connected to the vine? I think in terms of two aspects. Are we spending time connecting with God? Do we connect to God by seeking God through His Word, through Bible study, through reading? Do we connect with God devotionally by using various devotional guides? Guides that people have written who are further down the road with God. Or we could even read the Bible devotionally. Are we spending time connecting with God through private and corporate worship? Worship isn't just happening here on Sunday mornings at the church. We can enter into a private worship every day. How else do we remain connected to the vine? By spending time connecting to God, there's also this. Do we have regular conversations with God? Not simply rubbing the lamp, waiting for God to pop out of it and asking God for something, but regular conversation, what we call prayer. You see, without some type of connection through the Word and through prayer, both as individuals and corporately through the church, I don't know how much fruit we can bear. I think Jesus is pretty clear. If we don't remain in Him, we will bear no fruit. Did you know statistically that about 80% of Americans say they believe in God? In another study, it says more than 80% of all people, Americans, say they pray to God. And if that's so, why does it seem that God is being torn out of the fabric of life here in the States? Why are fewer and fewer people attending church and less even investing their time in the ministry of the church or the ministry of God for others? And why is it that our prayers seem to lack power or have any type of influence with God to bring about godly change, not only in our lives, but in the lives of people around us? Again, I think the answer Jesus gives us is found in verse 7. Read it with me. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. If you remain in me, Jesus says. If my words, the Bible, remains in you, Jesus says, then ask for whatever you wish. Whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. What's the lottery at now? I think when we remain with God, and God remains with us, we begin to seek a life, to live a life pleasing to God, which then shapes our prayer life. It shapes our conversations with God, and we don't ask for things that are meaningless, but we ask for things that are eternal. In the 25th year of my life, I recognized that Jesus had died on the cross. I was a pastor's kid. I knew this since I was forever young. I grew up going to church so I could say I was a believer in God. I had, though, no prayer life. My Bible was extremely dusty as I never took it off the shelf, and most times I didn't even know where it was. I rarely attended any kind of worship service, and yet I recognized my need for God during a Labor Day weekend and realized Jesus, God's Son, who died for my sins, who rose from the dead, He was Savior, but He was not Lord of my life. I was still sitting on the throne in my heart. I was still in control of what I was going to do and how I was going to do it, and no one was going to stop me. But it was then that I recognized that He was Savior, but not Lord. So I relinquished control to Jesus and began to invest myself more into knowing, loving, and being with God. One of my first big prayers that I requested of God was this. God, I desire to know more of You. I want to love You more. I want to serve You more. I knew that God wanted this for my life, as you should know that God wants it for your life. To live a life that's pleasing to Him. I knew because I was in God's Word, and He says in God's Word that He wants me to remain in Him, and that He will remain in me, so that I can bear fruit. My life was not bearing any fruit. I was working at a relatively small company that was very toxic to me in building a relationship with God. There were temptations there that made it really hard for me to serve God, to even confess God as my Savior. So I asked God, God, if I'm going to grow as a Christian, this is the prayer. If I'm going to grow as a Christian, I need to get out of this environment. And I need to find a different job with an environment that won't be so toxic to my life. I was praying for God's will in my life. So I began to work on a resume with a friend from church who was a recruiter. And after several weeks, finally put something together. I sent out some resumes, and it took several weeks before I heard anything. Into November, right before Thanksgiving, I got a call from a contract programming company. They told me that there was a possibility of a job interview at Ford Motor Company down at the Renaissance Center. He said he would submit my resume to them, but felt with the holidays and such, it would be January before I would even see anyone. Tony called me back that Monday morning after the Thanksgiving break and asked if I could go down to the Renaissance Center the next day for an interview. Of course I said yes. I went home. I had a beard then. I shaved it off. I put on my best suit. He told me that he would drive me down from Southfield to the Renaissance Center. We would meet up with the group leader who would then take me up to the 11th floor, interview with four people, and then they would bring me back down, give me back to Tony. Tony and I would drive back up to Southfield. Tony said, in the afternoon sometime, I'll call their HR department, maybe tomorrow morning, and we'll see how things went. And then I'll let you know. When I got to Ford, Tony did drop me off. I went up for the interview, had what I thought was a good interview. And on the ride down, the group leader, Hetty, and I were talking. Things seemed to be good. How do you like it? Oh, it seemed pretty good. We got down, met Tony. Tony said, how did things go? She said, it went well. We'd like to hire him. On the way back up to Southfield, Tony told me, this has never, ever happened before. Never. And I saw God moving in a way that made me recognize, that forced me to recognize that it was His hand moving in the lives of others to provide an environment in which I could then grow and flourish and bear fruit. And in looking back over those 5 years I spent downtown, I took the SEMTA or the Smart Bus from Southfield down to the Renaissance Center. It was a 35 or 40 minute drive. Not only did God provide an answer right there, but during those next 5 years, each morning I would spend time reading my Bible. I would spend time in prayer. Oftentimes for lunch I would be doing some Bible reading or studying various topics in my Bible. I was getting to know God, and God was letting me know what He wanted for me in my life. It was the richest time of spiritual growth in my life up to that point. My prayer life blossomed. I was truly drawing near to the heart of God. I knew that God was listening to me, my prayers, and that God was guiding me to become a more godly person. My time in prayer really began to develop and became more stable than at any other time up to that point in my life. I was experiencing the power of God, who really cared for me, who really listened to me, who really wanted to be with me every day. I no longer saw God as a genie in a lamp to rub. We were becoming friends. I was coming to the realization that God would give me those things that were in His will for my life. All I had to do was remain in Him and ask. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what kind of struggles you have, where it is that you feel distant from God. But let me tell you, God cares, and God is listening. God wants you to have success in your relationships, to have success at work, so that it will bring glory to His name, so that you will be growing and continue to grow more into the likeness, more into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. I know that because the Bible tells me so. I know that because that's what God wants for all of us, to draw near to Him, near to His heart, to know, to love, and to serve Him with more passion than maybe you've ever felt before. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about prayer. It's an aspect in which we can grow. Everyone can grow in our lives with God. And I implore you to take time for 4 weeks to learn more about prayer, to develop that, to allow God to speak to your heart about what prayer is, what it can be, and then to know more intimately after those 4 weeks the God that you desire to serve, the God that you come to every Sunday to worship. You can do that. Can you do that? Yes, you can. Let us pray. Almighty God, we know that You love and care for us, and God, that You have created us for Your glory, to be in relationship with You. And Lord, I ask that as we continue through these next 4 weeks, Lord, that You would continue to just draw us closer to Yourself, that we would know Your presence, that we would know Your love and grace and mercy in greater and greater levels. God, that You would speak to our hearts, that You would cause us to see You more clearly. Draw us closer to Yourself, Lord, nearer to Your heart, we ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.